And now, here's your host, board-certified circumcision reattachment specialist, Drew Marshall.
It's a chick flick song, right?
Oh. That looks like Cal Bachman playing the recorder. It's almost like John Dacre.
Yes.
Hello, my name's John Dacre. Oh, come on, that's horrible. folks, you're listening to the Humble and Fred Show.
Peace.
That's Fred on recorder. Oh, I can't even handle it. You're killing yourself laughing on this. Folks, we're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here in Southern Ontario at Joy 1250. It's time for the pub crawl. We crack open a few topics with a few friends on today's pub crawl. I'm not allowed to call them chicks, according to... Why are you on the phone?
She hasn't answered yet.
Who hasn't answered? Really? Our star guest is not... We can't get a hold of her? Did you phone her earlier?
No.
With a reminder call? No, because we didn't have the phone numbers. Oh, my goodness. The whole reason we have this show is because Carrie Pomeroli, we're celebrating 10 years of Carrie Pomeroli. Would you shut that music off?
I thought we needed something to fill the air while you were dialing.
I thought you were going to say while he was talking.
I'm going to text Carrie right now.
I feel like it's take your grade 9 Jew to work day.
Hello, look, I text her in your language.
I'm just here hanging. By the way, I feel like I'm just here hanging out with my buddy Tim and Drew.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great interview you did with that girl just a minute ago, Drew. If you're looking for some feedback, well done.
Not really.
You know what? I respect that. I acknowledge it. I'm not really here to give you any feedback.
10 years ago, we found this female comedian that I actually thought was funny, and she could roll with us on the show, and it was hilarity. It was humorous. And so today we honor her, we honor Carrie Pomeroli by doing a segment without her, because she's gone MIA. She's probably in a dollar store again. You remember that
moment? Or in a bathroom.
She's called us from a plane. The best one was when she called from the dollar store and she was talking loud and some lady says, "Does the whole world need to know your business?" You could hear the lady yelling at her.
Oh, it was awesome. Was that the one with me and Melinda, or that where you were here for that one?
I don't know.
One of them was from a bathroom.
Anyway, on the phone, chick number one, Susanna Eldridge. Susanna, are you still
Hi.
With us?
I am.
Thank you for having that lovely Kristen Chenoweth voice of yours. And chick number two, Kristen Weber. She is the heiress of the Weber Barbecue Institute. Hello, Kristen Weber. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. If that were true, I would not be on the radio doing this.
Thank you. Kristen and Susanna, do you two know each other fairly well?
No. I don't think we've ever met.
You guys are both friends of Carrie Pomeroli, but you've never met. Well, let me introduce the two of you. Kristen, this is Susanna. Susanna, this is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
According to our mutual friend, who is MIA, Carrie says you're both very, very funny. And so we had to have you both on our April Fool's Day show. And where do you think Carrie is right now? Kristen, what do you think? Where is Carrie right now, Kristen?
I would say at an outlet, probably, or a Cinnabon.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Right before she starts a new cleanse tomorrow.
Yes.
Good.
Susanna, when was the last time you ran into Carrie Pomeroli?
I saw her a couple weeks ago because I had a baby shower and she helped set it up. So
okay, that sounds.
That's when I saw her.
Awkwardly
but
painful.
yes, actually, I think they are awkwardly painful, even if the baby showers are yours. I remember sitting with her the first time I heard about you, and she called in the show, and we were in her car right after getting a manicure.
Yes.
So.
And did I come on the phone at that point in time?
Yes.
So
you were on the phone. She was talking.
And you were laughing, I think. Yeah, I think that's why I ended up liking you, is because you were laughing at me, and I like it when people laugh at me. I mean, with me.
When people think I'm funny.
Yes.
What is better than that?
That is it. Well, I did want to have y'all on the show just to talk about a few subjects. I think the first thing we need to talk about is in the, because you're both Jesus girls, right? Is that a true story?
Yes.
Right. Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's the official title that we're going. Christian girls are going by now.
Jesus girls. Yeah. Jesus.
I like it.
Do you sing those love songs to Jesus brought to you by Hillsong? Do you do those? Jesus is my boyfriend songs?
I do.
So the first thing we need to talk about is the single scene within the Jesus scene. Because, you know, we've all been to, for those of us who've grown up in the church and grown up in the Christian scene, we've all been to the lonely and homely groups, clubs, otherwise known as, what are they called again?
College and Careers.
College and Careers.
College and Careers, yep.
So is that still, do you find the single scene in the church scene an awkward scenario, Kristen? Is it something that you can make a commentary on?
Yeah, I think my situation is unique because I play the accordion, so I'm pretty sure I've been gifted the gift of celibacy. The thing is like a modern day chastity belt. So I've given up. Because anytime people hear that, they're like, yeah, have you taken a spiritual gift test? Because I think that's the number one listed on like celibacy. Do you play the accordion? You're done. That's your gift. So I don't know, but I was raised in the homeschool world.
Oh, man.
Mom sat me down, and she told me a lifetime of shame and regret starts with eye contact. So I've always scared to go to those things, and like that I like look at a guy too long, and I end up pregnant. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go... Again, I'll work up the courage and just wear a blindfold or something.
Yeah. Wow. Homeschooled and accordion. I think I saw you on Christian Mingle. Did I not?
Oh, did I do? I did one. I'm not allowed to fraternize on that website because I did a video for them and that bombed. And so they're like, no, you can't get your husband from us. So I have to go to 20 today.
We're going to play you a clip at the end of this from, I think they call it Christian Tingle. It's a lot of fun. How about
you? Yes. Was that the, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, that's a good bit. Susanna Eldridge, in your world, growing up in the church in the single scene, how is that for you?
It's my mom was single. And so I remember her always going to singles groups or the singles Bible studies and me thinking like, and even her probably saying like 3/4 of the guys that were there were weird. So I grew up, you know, deciding that I would never date a Christian guy ever.
Yeah.
Which is odd when you're in the church, but I was just like, if they're Christian, I'm scared and I'm definitely not going to date them ever. I'm married to a Christian guy now. So, I never really was interested in dating Christian guys. So like I even went to Biola and I was like, they're so weird. And they're not actually weird. No. Sorry, Christian guys out there. Yeah. But, you know, like all humans, some are weird and some aren't. And I just had a lot of run-ins with the weird ones. And then when I went to Biola, everyone called me a man-hater, which I wasn't.
Wow.
I just didn't want to date them, and I argued with them in theology class. So that was my experience.
Now, Biola, that's kind of a big Christian university college thing or whatever you guys call it in the United States of America. And that's where you go to find your partner, your life partner.
Yeah. What's interesting is I dated plenty in high school, but not one guy at Biola asked me out on a date. Not one.
Ooh. You must have saw the. You must have saw the 3 6s in the back of your head.
Saw the sin.
Yeah,
the girl is covered.
Not going to touch that one. So, what about the dating scene for you, Kristen? Like, I know it's been awkward and it's been tough, but where are you at now? Are you married, or is this now an infomercial for your relationship world?
I think I'm in a common law marriage with Chipotle.
Yes.
You guys have that in Canada?
We don't, but we know everything about your country because we want to be you. Yeah.
You want to be, exactly.
Pre-Trump.
So you're like awkward geographical stepchild.
Yeah, you've heard of pre-trib? We're pre-Trump.
Oh,
Oh, nice. Yeah, because that's where you guys are going to have to build a fence if Trump gets in, so that we. Yes, that's amazing.
So hold on. So you're are you single? Are you single?
I am single. Yes, I am currently single, and I'm at that weird age though, where a lot of the people who are my age are married, and I think I come across as younger, so I get hit on by a lot of like younger college age guys, and sometimes even later high school. And like my first reaction should not be like, when you ask me out, should be like, does your mom know you're here? Have you finished your homework? Like, that should not be my first instinct when I get asked out by somebody. So I don't know. I'm just waiting for someone in my same like age range.
That would be
either
nice.
Really, really old and confident here, or way too young and I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
So
no, you're actually in a good spot because you'll probably hit a lot of the super attractive guys that are just off their first divorce.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Yes. And they're great. I mean, really.
They're first.
I mean,
divorce.
I'm divorced. I'm on my second marriage, and I'm such a better wife.
Yes.
So there are so many guys out there
that
are doing the same thing. They're like, it's such a good spot, I swear.
What about children? Kristen, is that something would you like to breed or no?
Oh, gosh. I feel like parenting myself is a full-time job.
Yeah.
I literally, like, right before this, like, spilled an entire box of Cheerios on my car floor. Like, it looks like I have 5 toddlers, and it's just me. So I don't know that that's good for the world, although I would love to have kids.
Right.
But I'm a music teacher. I teach music during the day and then do stand-up at night, which kind of makes me like Hannah Montana. But I feel like I have like 30 kids already that I like parent part-time.
But I mean, do you have one of like a crazy aunt who says you're too old to give birth now? Because, you know, that's scary.
Oh, my grandma was saying that when we were like 12. You got to get on this. I'm young forever. And I was like, can I become a teenager first? Like,
yeah.
Get a driver's license? And she's like, no, those things go bad quick. So, I don't know. We'll see. Currently, surrogacy is a viable option in this day and age.
It is. And Susanna, you are with child, correct?
I am. With child.
And your kid's just about done, right? The dinger's going to go off soon? Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so, as far as comedic material goes, that's got to be just a deep well of nonsense, right? Being
absolutely, it's shocking. It's there's so many things people don't tell you. You sweat like a pig constantly. It's so unattractive. And you read all these things about how people are like, the pregnant woman's body is the most sensual body type in the world.
Who
says that?
You
read this.
Where are you going to read this?
Google pregnancy, and then you find out all these lies that people tell you, and then you go through pregnancy, and you realize the whole world's lying to you.
Yeah.
And all these chicks that put on their pictures, like, I'm 23 weeks pregnant, and I'm still size zero, only if you're 22 and you're pregnant.
Yeah.
It's all a sham. So my OB literally told me I had to stop Googling pictures of other pregnant women.
Yeah, that's not a that's not a good...
That's not even a joke. She literally told me to stop Googling. But yeah, so now I'm on the big, am I going to go natural or taking up a girl debate?
Yeah. Oh, you're still debating it? You haven't decided?
I haven't decided. Mm-mm.
Kristen, do you have any opinions on this subject for Susanna? Any advice?
I don't know. I mean, I might have to get back to you. My mom said she would tell me about how all this works on my wedding night, so I don't know that I can contribute much more till then. Apparently there's a DC Talk song that it kind of explains some of it that she's going to let me listen to then.
DC Talk song.
Is that Jesus Freak?
That's right. You were homeschooled.
Yeah.
So you didn't get the freshman year video.
What is the number 1, 2, and 3 downside of being homeschooled, Kristen?
The downside? Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't know the downside. Maybe you just have to, like, when you get out in the world, you're like, oh, I can't wear my PJs all the time to do everything. Well, you can, but you get looks. I can tell you the one upside that I found, which was the best thing. I was like, I'm so glad I was homeschooled. I went and I got to do comedy in a prison, and like the first thing that they asked when we got there, they're like, do you want anything or need anything? And I was like, actually, can I have a phone call? Because I just want to call my parents from a prison and have that prison like
Hey, Mom, I'm in prison. Just freak them right out. I love it.
Get me out of jail. Joke's on you. I ended up here anyway.
Oh, man.
So, I think that was the best. I was so glad I was homeschooled when that happened. I was like, yes, I'm calling my parents from Nashville County Prison.
Now, you two seem to be fairly humorous individuals, and Carrie Pomeroli, who shall go nameless for the rest of this broadcast, because I'm texting her and she's still not answering.
Told you, she told me that if I took over, she wouldn't be off the hook, so that's...
Yeah, she's done. She's out of here. But you know, there's that conversation, and I want to bring our good friend Humble Howard in on this conversation, because there is a conversation out there that has been ongoing for decades, nay, centuries, that women are not as funny as men. Now, Humble, that's a given up spirit you have there.
I'm just waiting for you to finish the question. Hello, nice ladies.
Oh,
how are you?
Geez.
Hi, Howard. We're good.
Good to talk to you. No, that's Drew's got it wrong. The debate is not are women as funny as men. The debate is are non-Jews as funny as Jews. And I'm telling you, as a Jew, the answer is sometimes.
No.
Okay? So, listen, the last non-funny Jew was Barabbas. Anyway, sorry. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to get all scripture with you, ladies. The way, I also hate men that go, ladies, shut up.
So, honestly, I don't find women as funny as men. Why is that?
Well, I don't know why you're asking me.
Do you feel the same way?
Let me ask you a question. Why don't you find women as funny as men? That's your issue.
No, I don't know what it is. And I'm ashamed.
I don't know about you. I can tell you some of my favorite comedians just happen to be non-men. Sarah Silverman,
right.
Tig. Was it Tig Notaro?
Yes.
Maria Bamford.
Oh yeah.
Paula Poundstone. I know that's old school, but these are some of my favorite humorists. I also happen to like Steve Martin, Gary Shandling, and Jerry Seinfeld.
Who used to be women.
Yes. Yeah. Who were once part of a woman.
Yes.
If you want to be completely biological.
Yeah, okay.
Drew.
Oh,
Drew does know where ladies come from, but he's not sure how his part plays in it.
No, it is. I can't talk about this.
I'll have my mom give you a call.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going. Could your mom call me, please? So, ladies, are you sick of that kind of stereotype? You're a female comedian, and then there's this sort of, Susanna?
Susanna, do you want to take this?
Sure. No, not at all. I don't know. It doesn't actually bother me. It kind of feels like, okay, glad that's your opinion, and then that's it. It doesn't wound me, per se.
But I'm not saying anything new here. Guys, you're all looking at me like that. What? This is so old yesterday. Nobody thinks like this anymore. People are
They don't really as much. I mean, I would say, like, some of this worked with a lot of female stand-ups. When I was doing stand-up in the mid-80s, that's kind of my era, there was a lot of very stereotypical female comedians. And I think what this opinion dates back to is when there was women that did stuff that was sort of like, hey, I'm a woman, or the same way that, you know, every black comic did stuff about being black and so on. But I don't think, and you two can answer this, I don't think women are quite so women-centric anymore. They're just more humorous about whatever.
Ooh,
right?
That's an interesting commentary.
What do you think?
That is so good.
Thank you.
Is that it? Okay, good.
No,
hey,
but
Kristen,
no, but I'm curious. What do you think of that?
So awesome.
Kristen, have you had an uphill battle as a female comedian? Yes or no? Yes or no?
You know, I always depend. I don't know how to take that, because people are always like, "Is it harder to be a female comic than a male comic?" And I'm like, I don't know, because I've never been a male comic.
Right.
And I totally agree with what you said about things being less women-centric. Like, I feel like women for a while, or a lot of women, use it almost as therapy, or they try to make, I don't know if they try to make the audience uncomfortable, but sometimes they inadvertently do. But the ones, and I know a lot of brilliant women who just write really good jokes, and they're just smart, and they're sharp, and those are the women, I think, who succeed and kind of turn that stereotype upside down. So I know that that's my goal as a woman. And sure, as a woman, we're going to see things a little bit differently, because our perspective on life and the world is different. So yeah, it's going to vary a little bit from a male comic. But I think if you're clever and you're smart, I think it doesn't matter your background or your gender or anything. I think you're going to get good jokes that hit home.
Susanna, have you done much stand-up or not at all?
No, not at all. I write about sad things.
You write about... That's funny.
That's so female of you.
Oh, it's so emotional and women-centric. Life is bad.
Kristen, how should a Jesus comedian handle a heckler?
I think they should ask everyone around them to lay hands on that person right then and there.
That's
and
actually,
make them as uncomfortable as possible.
That's a great answer. That's a really good answer. No, I've often wondered about, because, you know, Christian comedians or clean comedians, well, let's just stay with Christian. Christian comedians, right, they're still Christians, apparently, and, okay, they're being funny. And then there's some, you know, putts in the room who's, I don't know, doing whatever they're doing.
I love when you try and get all Yiddish up in the hood.
What?
There's some putzet. There's a putz. It's a, he's a real putz. Jeez, you're unbelievable.
So I just wanted to know what the Christian comedian would actually do. Have you ever had that happen to you? Or a Christian audience is just so polite?
Christian audiences are generally very polite. I have very rarely had anybody say anything. Now, if it's a family audience, there might be a kid here or there, and they're just a blast to put down. That's always so much
fun. Oh, people love that.
In their place. And, but yeah, in clubs for sure, you get the hecklers. And it depends on the heckler. If they're trying to be mean, if they're sometimes they're just really listening and they kind of say something where they agree with you. Other times they're just flat out drunk and there's no reasoning with them. So it really depends on the nature of the heckler, I think.
You know, one of my favorite things is when a heckler says something, just what you said, like they're so into what you're doing that they just want to participate, and they might say something out loud that's really funny. And the way I always handled that was, if the heckler got a good laugh, I'd go, hang on a second, I'd get my notebook and I'd write down their bit. I'd go, okay, that's mine now.
Yeah.
Because it shows the audience that...
Or you just say, like, give it up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because it shows the audience, like, hey, I'm participating here. I'm okay if somebody else is funny. But when they're mean and drunk and belligerent and interruptive, then the best thing you can do is just ask somebody to get rid of them.
I find that, is that a lot more of a current thing these days? I seem to hear that a lot more. If you heckle at all, you're gone. I don't remember that 20 years ago. Do you, Howard?
Well, no, but 20 years ago, if somebody was interrupting my act in a way that was not fun for the rest of the audience, then it's not my job. It's the club's job. But you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, most people just want to be acknowledged. They just want to say, hey, I'm out here. Mm-hmm. I got a good thing to say.
Yeah, and that's it. Well, listen, ladies, I just want to thank the two of you for celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Carrie Pomeroli here on the Drew Marshall Show.
Without Carrie.
Listen, I just feel great to be part of this. I'm in touch with my female star player, too.
Oh, my goodness. You're unbelievable.
I've been on for 2 hours. Every time he gives me a chance, I just quote Cat Williams.
It's all he's done for 2 hours.
Oh, just relax.
Chick number one, Susanna Hicks Eldridge. Susanna with an H, Eldridge. And then chick number two, Kristen Weber. Her website is KristenWeberOnline.com. And by the way, if you try to book Carrie Pomeroli to come up and do a comedy gig and she doesn't reply to your email, go to KristenWeberOnline.com. KristenWeberOnline.com. That's
really, you should just go there first.
Just go there first. Yes,
don't
exactly.
Don't have a life, so I respond within 2 minutes of all correspondence.
Well done, well done. Girls, I just want to say a very polite Canadian goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Drew.
Oh, my goodness, that was crazy. I want to play this clip, okay? We need a little break. Here we go. Have a listen to this, folks.
My name is Rebecca Esther Sarah Bathsheba.
And I'm John.
And I found God's match for me.
Start it again. Okay. You got to get this girl's name. This is the best homeschooling Christian name ever.
My name is Rebecca Esther Sarah Bathsheba.
And I'm John.
And I found God's match for me on ChristianTingle.com. I joined Christian Tingle after going on over 50 dates on other online dating sites.
I forgive you.
Thanks. I never went on a second date after I mentioned that I was saving handholding for marriage.
So I joined the website, and as soon as I saw your picture, I thought, man, she is hot.
Thanks.
What? You are. When I saw her Facebook profile picture, I was like, I've always wanted a woman that's had the most devoted devotional ever devoted.
Honestly, I wasn't very attracted to him at first. I mean, I thought he was hot, but I was afraid that he was going to be too into himself. When I saw his profile picture, everything changed. I was
look,
praise you, Daddy, for showing me this man who is willing to be seen holding a third world orphan.
I was in Africa on a mission trip. Why else would you go to Africa? There was this one little kid. He was actually the son of a guy that went with us here in Atlanta.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That was Jason. Favorite pastor on three. One, two, three.
David Platt. Platt.
That was too easy.
That was really easy.
Okay. Favorite Sonic Flood song. One, two. Well, everyone only knows one Sonic Flood song.
Right.
Favorite secular band. Switchfoot. This is real love. Tell them about the ceremony.
I think what we really wanted was a worship service.
We made sure that we had communion on the way in, we had communion on the way out.
Yeah.
We had communion during our vows. Obviously, we didn't have a bar at the reception, so we had more communion. One thing most people don't know about with Christian Tingle is there's an app that you can get for your smartphone.
When we were dating, mm-hmm. I feel like the app was just, it was a godsend.
When you keep it in your pocket and you're on a date, it'll send an alert every time that your phone goes from portrait to landscape. If it wasn't for the Father, the Son, and the Christian Tingle, I wouldn't have met the love of my life.
If you're looking for someone to date other than Jesus, look no further than christiantingle.com.
That's a great line. If you're looking to date somebody other than Jesus, it's really funny.
Go to Christian Tingle. Well, listen, just before we go, I want to thank everybody for lightening up a little bit and having a bit of fun here on our April Fool's Day special. And we certainly want to thank our good friend, Humble, for being here in the studio again. You're getting close to Kathy Lee on being the most guested Drew Marshall Show guest.
I'll tell you what, I feel totally grateful for the opportunity. Peace and love, brothers.
Is there anything...
And peace, may peace be with you one day, Drew Marshall.
And also yeah. upon you.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
a peace.
Uh-huh.
Promote your show.
HumbleAndFredRadio.com
and
weekday mornings on SiriusXM around North America.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll have the entire show loaded up on our website eventually by the end of this coming week for your listening pleasure. And may you all find the God who sees you. Bye-bye.
Evangelist, punch him in the face. I sing about the hope that's in me, and that's why the poor aren't fed. But if I don't toe the party line, it'd be better if I were dead. I am a liberal backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how I'm doing, and I come from all their fears. I'm swearing like a trooper, and I'm drinking like a bum. I'm a liberal backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun. So I'll be asking for forgiveness then, until the day I die. Though I can't be sure of what I've done, I think I'd better try.